Oops. Oh, I've got the wrong place here, though. Okay, there we go. All right, here's the title of the messenger RNA vaccines, exosomes, protein misfolding, and neurodegenerative disease. So I've been studying this mRNA technology ever since its warp speed came up. I started studying it. It is fascinating and it is terrifying. And I'm just going to focus on this one topic, although I have many other topics that I'm interested in within this space. I just want to kind of paint the picture of what I see that scares me the most. So I want to start with sort of arguing why the messenger RNA vaccines are more likely to cause damage to the organs than an infection. And the way I see it is that when you catch the virus, it goes into the nose, goes into the lungs, it's behind the mucosal barrier. So if you've got a strong immune system, it stays there, never gets past the mucosal barriers. If it does get past the mucosal barriers, it still has to get past the vascular barrier as well in order to actually get into the organs where it can do damage. So there's a couple barriers between the virus and severe disease. Whereas the vaccine is injected into the deltoid muscle in the arm past both the mucosal and the vascular barriers. And of course the RNA is constructed very specially designed with the methylpseudouridines. It's got those cationic lipids, which are really toxic. The mRNA resists breakdown and it produces spike protein for a long time. And we're seeing that experimentally for months. It's still producing spike protein. So RNA usually is recycled within a few hours. So that's very, very different from normal RNA. And of course, it's also been humanized, which makes it stealth, that the cell doesn't realize it's being infected with something that can produce a viral protein. And so the muscle cells take up the nanoparticles. And then I think what happens is they synthesize large amounts of spike. They have to get rid of it. They ship it out in the form of exosomes. And those exosomes can carry lots of other stuff besides the spike. They're going to display the spike protein on their surface, and they're going to have even potentially have the entire messenger RNA molecule in there as well, and as well as microRNAs and other proteins, all kinds of synthetic, all kinds of activities can be conveyed through those exosomes. Exosomes are a communication network for all the cells in the body, and they will communicate the danger that they see and deliver the danger to recipient cells, where it will then cause a lot of trouble. So it causes inflammation wherever it goes. You can have a spike protein displayed on the surface of an exosome. You can have the furin cleavage site snip off S1. S1 can wander through the blood and bind to ACE2 receptors, and a big mess happens following all of that. So I think, and then of course, the other issue is the protein itself is a neurotoxin. That's been shown experimentally as well. And it is amyloidogenic, and I'll get into that in a moment. And so I think much of the pathology is related to antibodies to the spike associated with molecular mimicry. And I'm going to get into that in a moment. So here's a paper about exosomes as mediators of chemical induced toxicity, and just showing this has nothing to do with spike, but just showing all these different, you know, toxic exposures, heavy metals, pesticides, toxic chemicals. Of course, toxic chemicals is, I guess, what you would call the vaccine. It gets taken up by the cell and released in the form of these exosomes. And they have other stuff in there, bioactive compounds, messenger RNA, that could be the messenger RNA for the spike protein. Other proteins, miRNA, this is miRNA, microRNA, which are signaling very powerful short RNA sequences that have policy changes in the cell that receives them. And then they have these things in the membrane that can also hook up to receptors and things like that. So they're designed for communication, and they're going to communicate this danger signal to the rest of the body in interesting ways to cause damage wherever they go. And this is a remarkable paper that I found from 2019 before COVID. This was about messenger RNA technology, and it was erythropoietin that they had coded up in this messenger RNA. And they demonstrated experimentally that the lipid nanoparticles were taken up by the cells at the injection site, repackaged into endosomal vesicles, released into exosomes, and the cationic lipid was included actually one for one with each of the nucleotides in the RNA. There was a cationic lipid bound to each one. So you've got the cationic lipid in there too, which is going to make this exosome positively charged. That's not good for the blood in terms of the zeta potential, a whole other story there. They can be taken up by other cells, and then those cells can translate the RNA into protein. So that's really, really dangerous. And the picture here of the administration, the source cell, the extracellular vesicles taken up making the protein. All of it's there. And then here's another paper, exosomes and extracellular RNA in muscle and bone aging and crosstalk. And this is, again, talking about the muscle cells when they're exposed to some kind of stressors. They release exosomes. They package up things inside the exosomes that are communication information to the cells that receive them. And evidence is accumulating that the cargo of muscle derived exosomes can be changed under pathological conditions so that you could have different microRNAs. And that's been shown actually experimentally with the spike protein, with the mRNA for the vaccine, that microRNAs are packaged up inside exosomes that induce inflammation in the brain. And so they contribute to the propagation of pathogenic responses to distant cells. And that's where I think it's going from the muscle to the brain. And I actually think it could be that the exosomes are traveling along axons of nerves that have their soma in the spinal cord. The nerves that are the motor neurons that control muscle movement, and also the sensory neurons that are picking up the muscle pain, they both have axons that extend to the muscle, and the exosomes travel along their fibers. So they can go to the brainstem, they can go from there up to the brain, the core nuclei in the brainstem, and then they can cause a big mess. So this is a paper, amyloidogenesis of SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. Many papers have talked about the potential for the protein to cause other proteins to misfold like the prion protein does. It has prion-like behaviors, and it has prion-like sequences in the protein. Theoretically, that's been shown. They have, you know, statistical models, and then experimentally as well, that it causes protein misfolding. And then the prospective of S protein amyloidogenesis in COVID-19 disease associated pathogenesis can be important in understanding disease and long COVID. And long COVID, of course, in many ways resembles vaccine injury. I think they're kind of the same thing. So this is, I was really excited that Luc Montagnier's paper finally did get officially published, peer reviewed. It was a preprint for a long time. He unfortunately passed away. So, but his co-authors managed to usher the paper through a review process. And this was a article by Marina Zhang in the Epic Times, studies link incurable prion disease with COVID-19 vaccines. So I think it's much more than prion disease. I think ALS-like syndromes, of course, the heart damage, I think is connected as well to this issue with the prion protein. I suspect, and also neuropathy, polyneuropathy, and even alopecia. So I've been finding all these papers that show a very interesting thing that I will get into in a moment. But first, I want to talk about Luc Montagnier in this paper. There were 26 people altogether. 23 of them were the messenger RNA. The other three had the J&J vaccine. And all the messenger RNA people had actually symptoms within 2 weeks of their second mRNA vaccine. And this is a month, but these took a little longer, the J&Js. Many of them were dead within 3 months, a very aggressive form of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the human mad equivalent of mad cow disease caused by misfolding of the prion protein. And so it's a very aggressive form of CJD that these people suffer from. Normally it would take longer, like maybe 5 years, but this was very fast. At the moment, at last I heard, only one of them was still alive. So this is where it gets really interesting in my opinion. I happened to notice this sequence, YQAGS, which is in the receptor binding domain. This is the receptor binding domain of the spike protein, this sequence. And there are these antibodies. This paper is studying the antibodies that were produced in response to the vaccine associated with the receptor binding domain. So they found these, there's this one, this one, this one. There's four antibodies here. Two of them, this one goes from 455 to 478. This one goes from 439 to 478. They're both going to pick up this piece at the end, YQAGS. And then in this study, they showed that so there's the YQAGS. These two, as well as I think this one, all had a very good antibody response to the vaccine. So the people who got the vaccine had a much stronger expression of these antibodies than people who didn't, very significant. And also that they worked well to protect you from the disease. Now, this is very important because I think these antibodies are trouble. And the problem is that there's a sequence YQRGS that's found in the C-terminal domain of the human prion protein. And I think what's happening is that antibodies are binding to the C-terminal domain of the human prion protein. And what that causes is for the protein to disappear. It gets broken up and removed by the digestive system of the cell. It disappears. And the cell becomes prion protein deficient. Not the same thing as misfolding. Very, very interesting. And there turns out to be several papers about this C-terminal domain and the roles that it plays. It plays an important role in muscles, in the heart, of course, in the brain, the neurons, and neural fibers, the axons and the dendrites and all of that. It plays a role in the nerve fibers as well. So here's a paper, and there are others as well, but antibodies to the C-terminal domain are neurotoxic. That's what this paper showed. This was in 2015, so long before COVID, and they've been playing around with it, and they found that if they treated the cerebellar slices with antibodies globular domain, the globular domain is the same is the C-terminal domain, and the antibodies exposing that to antibodies was neurotoxic, and it induced toxicity within days rather than months, which was more typical for things that caused the protein misfolding. And they said most glaringly, the kinetics of GDL-induced neurodegeneration is much faster than that of experimental prion infections. And the condition resembles CJD, but with much faster progression. And that's exactly what I feel these people have. So I'm suspecting this may be the mechanism by which they're being harmed by the vaccine. And so in summary, the messenger RNA vaccines are a bioweapon for distributing spike protein throughout the body, much of it packaged up within exosomes. And so the exosomes also have the messenger RNA. They're actually about the same size as the nanoparticles in the vaccine, but they're gonna have all kinds of other stuff in them. The microRNAs that are gonna influence policy. And of course the spike protein itself displayed on the surface, it's going to be a much more efficient mechanism for distributing, and that they travel very efficiently along the nerve fibers. I think all of that is very, very dangerous. Cells exposed to this transfection release the exosomes containing the messenger RNA along with the cationic lipid. That's another issue because that's going to be in there. And the recipient cells can produce protein from the messenger RNA in the exosomes. Spike protein is amyloidogenic and neurotoxic. The receptor binder domain contains this sequence, YQAGS, which is similar to but not identical. And that's actually important too, because if it were identical, it wouldn't work. It has to be different in order for there to be an antibody response. Otherwise, it'll appear to be a human sequence. So similar but not identical to the C-terminal, which is going to cause this toxic effect. So an aggressive form of CJD found in association with the vaccines may be due to molecular mimicry between the spike protein and the prion protein. And that's the end of my presentation.